The Matala Method Podcast is a production by Logan Allen and me, Barry Harris. We would like to dedicate today's episode to our parents. We are grateful that they have supported our dreams and they have made everything possible for us so far. We are lucky that they brought us to Barry Matala concerts when we were kids because we got to witness some historic moments. We send our thanks and love to them. Now, let's start the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Matala Method. This is the soon-to-be complete guide to the music and history of Barry Matala. My name is Logan Allen. That is my co-host, Mr. Barry Harris, and this is the beginning. We don't know how this is going to go. We know what we want to do, but we don't really know how we're going to do it yet. So you are joining us at the very beginning right here. Like I said, this show is going to be the complete guide to the music, history, and legacy of Barry Matala. Barry Matala is my biggest influence musically, and if it's not Barry's biggest, it's one of his biggest. And we just cannot wait to dive into this. This show is an amalgamation of years of love of this music and appreciation of this music, and we can't wait for you guys to join us on this. So before we get going, I really want to talk about what this show is going to be, because the Matala Method could mean a lot of things. We are going to go album by album through the Matala discography. It's important to note we're not going in order, but we'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. But we're going to be talking about all of the albums, all of the songs, and we're actually going to be producing some covers. We are musicians, and we enjoy producing music ourselves, original and covers. So we're going to produce some covers from all of the albums that we cover. So like I said, this is my co-host, Mr. Barry Harris right here. Barry, here we are. What's going on?
Yeah, here we go, Logan. Well, first off, this is such a joy to be able to do this with you, Logan. This has been about 6 months of very heavy planning, a lot of phone calls, and a lot of dreaming and scheming, and now here we are. So in 1 week from today, we are going to be launching our very first episode, and we cannot wait to get into this. So when we are in season, which starts next week, we are always going to have new content for you on Mondays and Fridays. Sometimes we might have some new content on Wednesdays, so you'll have to just stick around and see when that happens. So the first and third Mondays of every month that we're in season are going to be Matala Mondays. That means we're going to drop a brand new album discussion episode right here on the Matala Method. And then there's way more after that. So on a Monday, when we drop a new album discussion, the following Friday of that week, Logan is going to release a cover of one of the songs from the album we just discussed. And then on the following week, after we drop a new album discussion, on that Monday, I am going to release a cover of a song from the album we discussed. And then the following Friday, Logan and I will be releasing a cover that we're going to perform together. We have some very exciting plans, and we cannot wait to get into this. And I mentioned Wednesdays we might have some new content for you. Well, if we ever drop an album discussion on a Monday and that album discussion runs really, really long, we'll cut it up into two parts and we'll release the second part that following Wednesday. So that is what you can expect from us. This is going to be a multi-year journey, perhaps. And we're going to take that journey with you, and it starts right here, right now. So, as Logan mentioned, we're not going to go chronologically through the discography. We're not starting our first episode on Barry Matala 1, because one, that would be predictable. And two, we want to leave you hanging on the edge of your seats to wonder what we might do next. But the third reason is actually a bit practical. We have some very special plans for some of the songs that come off of the albums, and they're so extensive that we need a little bit of time to get ready for those. So that's the reason why you're going to see the format we're going to do in terms of which albums we cover. But nevertheless, I think it's going to be very satisfying and very rewarding to tune in. So at this point, I'd like to just mention a few things. First off, the genre of our podcast is art criticism. And with that, we want to make an important disclaimer that we're not affiliated with, endorsed by, or in any way associated with Barry Manilow or his management company, Stiletto Entertainment. Logan and I are just two devoted fans who feel strongly compelled to share our testimony, our perspective, and our opinions. So today is all about getting to know Logan and me, so that way when you watch the episodes that unfold, you'll understand why we are approaching this the way that we are approaching this. And I think the best place to start is how Logan and I first met. You see, Logan and I, we had a mutual friend on social media, Adele from Nevada, who posted about Logan on her social media page. I saw this post and she mentioned that there's this young man from Illinois who is doing a Barry Manilow tribute show. And I was obviously intrigued by this. And I went to go look up Logan's original music. And just from the first few notes, it was clear to me that I was looking at somebody who was incredibly gifted. But what I've come to learn and really respect about Logan is his drive, his intensity, and his enthusiasm. It really shines through in everything that he does. And so I could not think of somebody better to partner with and to do something like this. I never would have imagined in my musical journey that I would find somebody that I would actually work on a project where we would be 50-50 partners working on something, but yet here we are, and Logan was the perfect fit. So this is the first time I've ever done something in a partnership like this, but it makes total sense, and that's why we are here, that's why we're doing this. And Logan, I think, you know, maybe what would be great for our audience if you could share in your own words your journey, your experience with Barry Manilow, and how you got here.
Yeah, so my love for Manilow kind of goes back a long ways, back to the 70s and the 80s when my mom was growing up. She loved Barry Manilow. She took piano lessons and she got to learn some Manilow songs, and she saw him in concert a couple of times over the years. And then I was born in 2006. Let's get that out right now. I'm 19. So do with that what you will. But I'm 19 years old, and as soon as I was born, I was listening to Barry Manilow before I was born, even if I didn't know it, I was. So in the first few years of my life, I was intrigued, obviously, by the current Manilow media at the time, which was Live from Las Vegas, Music and Passion, the Decades albums he was putting out. That was my main introduction to Manilow, along with, like, you know, greatest hits compilations. So over the years, I kind of started getting interested in other types of music and kind of drifted away from what I liked when I was younger. But then in spring of 2021, a random day I was on Spotify and the name Barry Manilow showed up, and I was like, oh well, I used to listen to him, so let's open it up. Let's put a playlist on and listen to him again. And that just is something clicked. The love that I had as a kid came back like within seconds. And around the time, I was teaching myself how to play the piano. So I thought to myself, wow, all of these songs are centered around the piano. I can learn Barry Manilow songs now. So my love for Manilow really picked up when I started learning the material, and I started getting into watching those old concerts. And I had seen him twice in concert at that point when I was younger. So I was going back and looking through pictures and video we had of those old shows, and it just really, it all came rushing back to me. And later that year, we were able to go see him. He came to Chicago for his Very Berry Christmas concerts, and I was able to go to the opening night of that, and that just cemented that the music of Manilow was here to stay in my life. So a couple of years later, still listening and still super passionate about it. The high school that I graduated from in 2024, we had our auditorium remodeled to this really beautiful new space. And it used to be a gymnasium, but now it's like a state-of-the-art room. And the first time I ever stepped foot on the stage, I knew I had to do something related to Barry Manilow in that room. And this is where Barry and I kind of start to link up, is I decided that night, it was, I think it was February of 2023, I decided that night to go home and start writing and workshopping a Barry Manilow tribute show. And I met with the school superintendent, and we worked out a date, and we worked out the basics of how we were going to do it, and I got to work. I started arranging the music. I decided I was going to have 11 people on stage behind me, which for a then 16-year-old was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be, but it all worked out in the end. But we did, I think we did maybe 80 minutes of Manilow on stage, and it was through our friend in Nevada, Adele, who, if you're watching this, Adele, thank you for this. We met in Las Vegas at the Westgate, where Barry Manilow has a residency, and I was there to tell Manilow and his band about what I was doing, and we met Adele just being at the show that night, and we're still friends, and little did I know, she was also friends with my co-host, Barry, and that's how Barry and I linked up. And now, something really interesting that's happened, this frame up here, I have this nice Manilow wall, if you couldn't tell, this frame up here is from a run of shows that my band and I did in May of 2025. And Barry flew in to Indianapolis, and he came to all three of our shows this year. And that was actually the first time that him and I had ever met in person. We talked on the phone countless times. We had already started planning this podcast at that point, but this was the first time we met in person. The first time that he ever saw me in person was me walking out on stage to sing It's a Miracle, which, looking back on it, that is kind of insane that that's the first time we met. But that was how Barry and I came together, and this has just been such an awesome experience just planning this. I can't wait to actually start filming this and producing this, but I couldn't ask for a better partner, as Barry said. Barry, that's my background in the music of Manilow. How did you get involved in this world?
Well, first, we have to get one thing out of the way. My name is Barry, and that is not an accident. So my journey starts in the late 1980s. My mother and father belonged to a locally organized Barry Manilow fan club. They started out as pen pals, which led to a blind date at, of course, a Barry Manilow concert. And then they got married, and so they decided to name me after Barry Manilow. And I could not think of a more appropriate name. It was, and I'm so honored to carry that with me every time I tell people my name is Barry and I'm a pianist. They immediately think of a talented pianist named Barry. And so I'll forever have that association, of which I'm incredibly proud. And for me, it started just about the same or similar age to you, Logan, where I went to my first concert. I got to see the Greatest Hits tour, and it was my first concert. At right leading up to this concert, I can tell you what my world looked like. I remember that concepts were very simple for me. Like, you flick the light switch and the light turns on. You turn the faucet on and the water comes out. And as I understood it, is you crank the dial on the radio and the Barry Manilow comes out. Yeah, so what I'm setting up for is the moment that big Manilow curtain opened and Manilow came out singing the end title version of Ready to Take a Chance Again from the film Foul Play, a big hit song for him, my mind was blown to realize that everything that I had been listening to, it was coming from one man. And I watched him, you know, dance around, sing, and play the piano that was the exact same piano that I have in my home. And I put two and two together. And from that moment, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to make other people feel the same way that Manilow made me feel. And that, to this day, is still my North Star. Anytime I produce something or do a show, I'm trying to make people feel what Manilow made me feel on that day.
Wow.
And there's an interesting concept that Steven Van Zandt from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band has said, and he talks about in every major musician's life that there's always an epiphany, an epiphanic moment where they realize the possibility. And for many, and in fact millions of people, in February of 1964, that happened when the Beatles played on Ed Sullivan, that suddenly everybody became inspired to want to create music, create a band. And whatever happened to those people who were watching Ed Sullivan that night in February of 1964 is what happened to me in August of 1995.
Wow.
So, to flash forward, I obviously started playing piano. I wasn't very comfortable singing at first, but I finally got used to singing. I got more comfortable with singing. I started to write original songs, and that was the path that I chose. And it was, and looking back at it now, I know that I chose the right path. And I grew up, and where I live now is right outside of Philadelphia. I live in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. That's all the towns that are west of Philadelphia. We call it Delco for short. And when I was growing up, I was playing all around my hometown of Delco. And eventually, I knew I wanted to up-level what I was doing and take it to the next level, so I ended up going to Los Angeles. And looking back at it now, I had such audacity, because this was scary, because I'm moving to Los Angeles. I was 17 years old. I didn't have anything. I didn't know anybody. And I didn't know anything except that what I am doing today is what I wanted to do. Luckily, that did work out great for me. One of the very first people that I got to meet in Los Angeles was a man named Lamont Dozier. I met Lamont Dozier at a program called Grammy Camp. He was a third of the Holland Dozier and Holland songwriting team for Motown Records. He wrote 54 number one hits in his lifetime. And I met him, and he became my mentor. And he became the first person of any note who advocated for me. And it was because of him that I got into USC, the University of Southern California, where I majored in popular music performance. And I graduated with a Bachelor of Music from the Thornton School of Music. And that was all because Lamont Dozier went around telling people that this kid is talented and you need to give him a chance. So I'm going to be forever grateful to Lamont for that chance that he gave me. And I got to study with some other amazing artists who were, you know, generously giving their time to students like me. I worked with Jason Robert Brown, the playwright and amazing songwriter, and he introduced me to the world of theater. I worked with Patrice Rushen, who is a pioneering artist who has done just about anything you could possibly imagine in the music industry, and she's been successful at everything she's ever done. And it was wonderful, you know, learning from her experience. And of course, one of the greatest songwriters of all time was teaching at USC when I happened to enroll at USC, and that was Melissa Manchester.
Wow.
She is, I'm so happy to say, just one of my greatest friends and mentors. She taught me almost everything that I know about how to be a performer. She taught me the art of conversational singing. When you take lyrics and you break it down and you try to figure out line by line, what does this line mean to you? And then you have to act it out like a scene on stage in front of people. And this has informed so much of what I do to this day. And so my teachers, you know, encouraged me, and they gave me the tools to succeed. But the real support to really drive forward came from my friends, and they were my classmates at USC. We actually formed a band together. And the reason we formed a band together is because my friends, my classmates, they wanted me to have a chance to make my dream come true. And boy, it did come true. And I've played shows all around Los Angeles at the Troubadour, at the Hotel Cafe, at the El Rey. And that has been an amazing run. And in fact, 15 years later, we are all still working together. They still record on my recording sessions. We still play shows together. And I could not have done it without their support. And so now that I have all these blessings in my life, I just try to give out as much as I can in terms of creative output. And I love my journey as an independent musician because that means I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. So everything that I have published as our band, which is Barry Harris and his LA band on all streaming platforms, as well as my YouTube channel, Barry Harris Music, everything that I have published, I am incredibly proud of. And I, you know, I made those records for me. I made those records because I needed to do it. I think you artist people out there, I think you understand what I mean. When you have a need to do something, when you can't not do it, well, I can't not do this. And so for the rest of my life, I intend to continue to release, record music, and perform with my band for as much as I'm possibly allowed. And so here we are, and this program that we're doing is a way to pay homage and tribute to the source from which all of this flows, and that is the Manilo Method. I feel that I employ this all the time in my writing and in my production. Sometimes I think a lot about what would Manilo do here if this was his song to sing? And so that's why in this program, we're going to use his discography to break down what he is doing, why he might be doing it, because there's so many great lessons to learn. And one thing I've learned in going over Manilo's career and then looking at the present day, I think that our world has really gotten better. And Logan, I'm happy to say in your circumstance, I feel that people have been very welcoming to you and what you do. People have been very receptive. I was there at the show that you played and everybody was very gracious and welcoming to what you were doing. But of course, as we all know, when Manilo started, there were many people that were absolutely not welcoming. And that would be an understatement. In fact, as part of my research for this program, I pulled out some old magazine and newspaper clippings. And I'll say, those reviews that Manilo received, they were brutal then. They're even more horrific looking at it from today's context. And I just can't imagine what it must have felt like to be in those shoes. But one thing is for sure is that it didn't matter what a magazine writer thought. What really matters is what the people thought. And the people liked Barry Manilo. I think that people connected to his authenticity and what he does. And one of the things that I learned when I got started in my journey is that there were still some people that were not very welcoming to, you know, my point of view and what I did. And I had times when I felt before I'd moved to Los Angeles that I was plateauing in my own hometown market and I wanted to learn about what else was out there. And I really was in search of information. And I tried to consult people who I thought were experts on, you know, growth and development. And these, some of these so-called experts, what they had suggested is that I stop playing this kind of music. And that doesn't make any sense at all. It didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense now. But here I am more than, you know, 20 years later, and I'm still doing it. And now I'm co-hosting a program about the music of Barry Manilo. So I have to say the world has certainly improved. And I think if there's any lessons to learn about my experience, it's that you should do what it is that you want to do. And, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I really don't see what the problem is. And now, as I can say, and I'm happy to say, Logan, the world has been welcoming to what you do. And now here we are, we're uniting. And now we have this program and we're embarking upon this journey together. And now here we are. And now we march forward.
We absolutely do. So This is getting a little long for an intro episode, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how this show works, and then we're going to leave you guys in suspense for next week when we drop our debut album discussion. So the way this show is going to work is we're going to have kind of the same format for every episode that we do. We're going to start off by talking about the album, when it was released, what our memories of it are, if we have any, what our impressions of it are, and we're also going to talk about how it was released. Is it on CD, vinyl, cassette? Reel-to-reel, 8-track, whatever. We're going to talk about all of that, and then we're going to talk about the musicians and the singers who played on the record, because these records would not sound the way that they do without all of the musicians that played on them. And then after that, we're going to do what's advertised. We're going to go track by track by track by track, all the way through every album that we discuss. So, as Barry said, some of the conversations, I'm guessing, might go a little on the longer side. We don't know yet, but we have a plan for if they do. Anyway, we're going to go track by track through all of these wonderful albums, and we can't wait to experience that with you. And we're also, we've done some research, and we've found some bonus tracks and some session outtakes, songs that were recorded at the same time as some albums, but they didn't make the final track list. So as we talk about the regular albums, we're also going to be talking about what songs have found their way into the internet or into the real world that didn't make it onto the album. So those are going to be some fun conversations as well. And we're going to talk about our favorite tracks from the albums, why we chose them as our favorite tracks. And then we're going to close each episode with a very interesting segment. Barry, what is that segment?
Yeah, so we are going to have an MVP contest. That MVP contest, Most Valuable Player Award, usually you see that in sports. We're going to give an award, Most Valuable Player. We're going to award an MVP to somebody who worked on the album we just discussed. Logan and I are each going to pick somebody, and that's one of the fun parts of this program. Logan and I are not going to talk to each other before we film these episodes, and we're going to reveal our MVP picks to each other live on tape when we are recording this, and so you're going to see our live reactions. This is probably the part where there might be the most drama. You might see a Siskel and Ebert-like argument right here, and you'll watch our working relationship devolve right before your eyes. But hopefully not. But nevertheless, the MVP contest only has one rule, and that one rule is that Barry Manilow cannot be the MVP, because he's always the MVP every day.
Yes.
So remind you, just to remind you that when you can find this podcast, every Monday and Friday, new contents, the first and third Mondays of the month is going to be Manilow Mondays, when we drop a brand new album discussion. So the one thing I wanted to close with is just to say a few words about why we are doing this podcast. You know, Barry Manilow, one of his most successful records was the Ultimate Manilow record, and it has 20 of his greatest and most beloved songs. And when it came out in the 2000s, it was a very big surprise top five album hit, and it really began this huge resurgence of interest in Barry Manilow's music. But what I believe, my opinion of the Ultimate Manilow record, is while it's incredible, it doesn't even scratch the surface in the artistry and the depth that Manilow has in his artistry. And so that's why we're doing this. You know, there was no peak as far as I'm concerned. I truly believe, and I know Logan agrees, that Manilow really has not peaked yet as an artist. Everything has just been better and better and better. The 70s were great, but I will say this for the record. I kind of like the 80s more than the 70s records.
And here come all the complaints. Oh, the 70s were so good. We're already going to make people mad. But that's what this show is about. Continue, Barry.
Exactly. No, yeah, as like I said, this is all about us sharing our points of view and using that to kind of open up the discussion. But for us, we want to show that the music of Barry Manilow has been nothing but one long arc upwards that continues to the present day. And speaking of the present day, something really remarkable about Barry Manilow is that he is still out there. You know, we're going to talk about some of the tours of the past that were absolutely amazing, like the Big Fun Tour de Force, the Clicker Reminiscing Tour, the Manilow Music and Passion. They were really amazing shows, but I can tell you that the greatest tour that he's ever done in his career is the one that he is on right now, the one where you can go see him right now. So if Barry Manilow ever comes to your city, if he happens to announce that he's coming by to do a farewell to your city, you definitely have to go. And if you don't see him in your town, he has residencies in Las Vegas that he regularly plays, and that's at the Westgate. You should definitely make a plan to either go to see him or go see him if you happen to be passing through Las Vegas. And occasionally he'll do some other residencies in New York and Palm Desert, California. So if those opportunities are ever available to you, we want to stress how important it is to go see him, because he has never been better as a performer, and you are going to be blown away.
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing about this podcast, is typically when you see people doing these types of shows where they're digging into discographies, the artist is no longer with us. This is a situation where he is still alive and kicking, and he really is kicking. He delivers such awesome performances night after night, and I know you've seen him dozens of times. I've seen him, I'm probably in the single digits still, but I make up for it in the love that I have for the music. But please go see him live. It will make this podcast make a lot more sense. And if you see him live, it will make this show a lot more enjoyable, because then you will be in on the fun. So please go see him live if he's coming through your city, or you have the means to get to Vegas, California, New York, whenever he is there. We highly recommend it. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't recommend going to see him live. So we're going to wrap this up here. I'm Logan Allen. That is Barry Harris. This is The Manilow Method. You can find us on social media at The Manilow Method. And we also have an email address down at the bottom of this video, themanilowmethod@gmail.com. Reach out to us with your ideas, your stories. If you've met him, if you've seen him in concert, what songs did you hear live? We want to know everything that you have grown to enjoy about the music and legacy of Barry Manilow. So thank you guys so much. We will see you next week for our debut album discussion. Barry, do you have anything else?
Well, we are so excited to take this journey with you, whether you're watching us here as we debut or you've come back after we've been on the air for a little bit to just check us out. We thank you so much. And if you made it this far, you are an awesome person.
Love it. All right, everybody. We will see you next week for our debut album discussion on The Manilow Method. Hey, everybody. Logan here. We hope you enjoyed our first introductory episode, getting to know me and my co-host Barry Harris. Now, before we sign off, I know it's a little long, but before we sign off, I wanted to explain something really fast. The reason that I was in Las Vegas in the year 2024 to meet Dr. Manilow and tell him about my tribute band was because I was supporting the Manilow Music Project. For those of you who don't know, the Manilow Music Project is Dr. Manilow's organization that gives funds and equipment and instruments to schools that can't afford it for their music programs. It's a very important cause, and it's a very awesome project. I recommend you check it out. And one of the ways that you really can support the music project is by buying meet and greet tickets at Barry Manilow concerts. He has two different types of tickets. There's platinum tickets and there's gold tickets. You can buy each of them at select gates. They differ through city to city. But the platinum meet and greet is a more exclusive meet and greet where you get a private conversation with the man himself, and all of the proceeds from your ticket go to the Manilow Music Project. The gold ticket is more of a brief meet and greet while all of the proceeds are still going towards the Manilow Music Project. So I highly recommend you check that out anytime he is coming to a city near you. You can find them at themanilowmusicproject.org and at Manilow Music Project on social media for you to donate and to learn more. On the Manilow Method, our brief little theme music that you hear at the beginning of every episode is Frederic Chopin's Prelude in C minor. For those of you Fanilows listening, you'll know that Manilow's song Could It Be Magic was based on the Prelude in C minor, and our short little version is performed by my co-host, Mr. Barry Harris. The Manilow Method podcast was created by me and our co-host, and it was edited by our co-host, Mr. Barry Harris, as well. Last but not least, everybody, we just want to say thank you to Dr. Manilow and his band and his crew and everyone who has been involved in his career for the past 50 plus years, because without every single one of them, we would not be here today talking about this music. This music has impacted Barry and I's lives so deeply, and we just want to extend our heartfelt thanks to anyone who had something to do with Barry Manilow's success. So we thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week for our first episode ever. See you soon, everybody.